Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
We are living at a historic moment in American and world history. The future of the Supreme Court and so many cultural issues could change in the near future. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communication for Liberty Counsel. Well, we are at a historic moment. Justice Anthony Kennedy, 81, has announced his retirement, and President Donald Trump is moving to fill that vacancy. We could have a new justice actually confirmed before the Supreme Court reconvenes in the first week of October, and that will be huge.
The impact, we don't always think about the impact that our judges have on decisions in this country, particularly the Supreme Court. And we talk about the sanctity of life and what happened there. We talk about marriage and what's happened there. It's all because of the Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's right. His last day, Kennedy's last day, will be July 31, 2018. The confirmation process is going to move rapidly forward. The Senate, Matt, is not going to recess in August. That means that this nominee will be voted on and hopefully confirmed before October. That means a brand new justice in Justice Kennedy's seat to begin a brand new term on so many critical points.
Well, it's reason for freedom-loving Americans to celebrate, and it's also reason for the wailing and gnashing of teeth on those on the left. And of course, what's the, you know, the usual suspects? What's their one issue that they're going to focus on? Roe v. Wade, their right of abortion sacrificed to Moloch of infant children, is a sacrosanct amid those who celebrate death. And so they are definitely not very happy that President Trump has yet another appointment.
In his second year as president of the United States, his first year, he nominated and got a justice confirmed quicker than any other president in American history.
Right.
Now, his second year, a second justice. And literally, this one can be the huge fifth vote on whether it's abortion, same-sex marriage, or other issues, because Kennedy has been that fifth vote. He was the fifth vote in 1992.
Right. He has the opportunity to fundamentally reshape the top of the judiciary, and that has a huge impact on our country.
Yeah. In 1992, Kennedy was on the 5-4 to strike down Roe versus Wade in the Planned Parenthood versus Casey case. Rehnquist was writing the opinion for 30 days. And then it was at the end of May that he met with Justice Blackmun, who was still on the court at the time, having been pressured, lobbied, if you will, by Justices O'Connor and Souter, and he changed his vote. 30 days after the vote and 30 days after Rehnquist was already writing the opinion, he switched, and he became 5-4 the other way. And in a very rare move, the opinion was written by O'Connor, Kennedy, and Souter, three of them together, and taken away from Rehnquist. And so at the end of June 1992, the abortion decision of 1973 was still upheld, although slightly modified, but upheld. And it was all because Kennedy switched his vote. We were 30 days away from overruling the horrendous abortion decision of the Supreme Court.
Let's call that what it is. That was shameful. And
right.
And I'm not, you know, I keep hearing people talking about, you know, saying very nice platitudes about Kennedy as he exits literally stage left. I don't have such nice things to say about him because from my perspective, the blood of millions of children is on Justice Kennedy's hands. That's just a matter of fact.
And he also did the Obergefell case, 5-4. And as Chief Justice John Roberts said, that same-sex marriage opinion, if you will, is not based on the Constitution or the court's precedent. It's precedence. It's just the imposition of the will of five lawyers. You know, when we're looking at a justice, we want a justice or a judge that will literally just interpret the text and the original understanding and meaning of the Constitution and the statute. And a lot of times you have judges wrestle with the original meaning of a statute when it's on a non-controversial, that is to say, a non-social issue such as abortion. If it's not regarding abortion, they'll just look at the text a lot of times. And so in many cases, judges are originalist when a statute comes to them, when a contract comes before them, and they have to interpret the language. What did the parties, what did the legislature mean? But when a social issue is before them and it's the Constitution, then they become, that's when you really find out what their judicial philosophy is.
Right, they cave to the culture.
They move towards where they ultimately want to be as opposed to where the Constitution requires right. them to be. And that's where we've had the problem. And so many times, going all the way back to Ronald Reagan, he gave us two bad justices. He gave us Justice O'Connor because he wanted to be the first president to appoint or nominate a woman. And he reached out and he got O'Connor. She was horrible. And then he nominated Bork. He was good. Had Bork been confirmed, had the Republicans gone to bat, there would be no abortion in this country because he would have been on the court in 1992. There would be no abortion in America from 1992 to the present because he was an originalist. And he lost the confirmation process because Kennedy came out against him, not Anthony Kennedy, Senator Kennedy came out against him and led the charge. The Democrats went ballistic. They put everything against him. The Republicans didn't push back enough, and he lost the confirmation by a few votes. We were a couple of votes away, friends, from overturning abortion in 1992. So then he went to a second pick, and that person had to withdraw because some past history of marijuana. And his third pick was Anthony Kennedy. And this is what we have. And then we have George H.W. Bush, and he gave us Souter, exceptionally pro-abortion. And then we had George W. Bush, and he wanted to give us Harriet Myers. And I said, no, that's not what you promised. And we took a lot of heat for that. Some people really pushed back and said, you need to just trust the president. And I said, he needs to hold up to his promise to appoint an originalist. After 2 weeks, it became known that she wasn't an originalist, and she withdrew. And in her place, we have Justice Alito. And Justice Alito became the fifth vote, my friends, on the issue of partial birth abortion. In his first term, he was the fifth vote when it came to voting to uphold a law that bans the brutal partial birth abortion, and that was 2007. So it really matters who serves in that court. The battle now that the nominee is front and center will really heat up because the left, the secularist, the pro-abortionist, they know that their whole future is hanging in the balance because they want someone on the bench that will do their bidding, that will be an activist. They don't like the Constitution as it's written or the parameters that it provides.
Yeah, and that's because they can't win on the merits and they can't win through the constitutional processes, through actual legislation. So they count on the imposition of their will and their radical policies via judicial fiat. They need the Supreme Court. They've had a hold on that, and that's their means to an end. That's the only way that they get these radical policies imposed in violation, frankly, of the Constitution on the American people.
Well, stay in touch with us. Stay informed. You can go to lc.org because we're going to follow this process from our offices in Washington, D.C. We're going to be right in the mix of it in terms of not only praying for the nominee, because if you remember what happened with Justice Clarence Thomas, remember the shellacking and the lies that were presented against him. Remember what happened to him. It was people of faith that came around him and prayed. So we're going to be praying. We're going to be supporting the nominee, and we're also going to be very involved in making your views and our views known to our senators in Washington, D.C. about this nomination process.
You know, God has given us amazing, unconditional grace on this country, and here is our opportunity. It is we as a church, we as a people, to pray, to continue to pray for our leadership, for our president, our vice president, and these justices, that they would follow his law. And we also need to speak up. So that's why we're here.
We are one confirmation
Only
process.
One. Yeah.
One vote away from a cataclysmic change, a culture-shifting change, back to a sanctity of human life, but even so, back to a respect for the Constitution and its text. And now is the time, if there's ever a time, for you to get involved in prayer and also stand up and do something. Stay with us. Partner with Liberty Counsel. Go to Liberty Counsel's website. We need your prayers now more than ever and your financial support. LC.org is the website, LC.org. Sign up for our email communications. Stay informed. Get involved. This is our moment.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.